It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Out of the California globe comes California's most dangerous cities. Now, as we've got the new police chief coming in on Thursday at 1 o'clock, Paco Balderrama. You know, this is good to know. Do I have any, you know, specific listings for Fresno? I do not. But that's because we're not exactly the worst place to live in California, but when you look at violent crimes, when you look at property crime in California, and one of the reasons I want to talk about this is because, you know, this state is above the national average when it comes to those crimes. And it continues to climb, according to the FBI. You know, we've got few California cities that have been spared from the, you know, the ongoing horrors and impacts of all of this rising crime. And a lot of it has to do with a lot of things that you already know about. Most interesting is the FBI graph that shows how crime in California had dropped like a hot rock. And then it began to rise again after 2014, the year that Prop 47 was passed. And then there was another big spike in 2016, right after Prop 57. A lot of the downward trend for crime in California up until most recent times had to do with a little thing called three strikes and you're out. Which came out of this town, which came from individuals like Mike Reynolds, who was the father of this whole movement that turned out to be global because of the loss of his daughter. For the California chapter of three strikes, I'm happy to say that I was a part of that. Bill Jones was a part of that. There were a number of people from the right and the left all came together. That was the one time we came together and we put three strikes together to save California's Republicans and Democrats. But slowly but surely, you know, that was whittled down because of particular individuals, a lot of them with personal cases that were impacted by three strikes. You know, rich uncles who had a nephew that was in prison for life for stealing a piece of pizza. I'm exaggerating, but you know what I'm talking about. And this is what began the downfall of three strikes. Prop 47 largely decriminalized theft and drug crimes by reducing those specific crimes and a number of other so-called nonviolent felonies to misdemeanors. That thing is just dog meat, you know. Prop 57 allows for early release of so-called non-violent offenders, and please put quotes around non-violent, including rape by intoxication of an unconscious person, human trafficking involving a sex act with minors, arson causing great bodily harm, drive-by shooting, assault with a deadly weapon, hostage taking. All of those individuals that committed those crimes, if they've been pretty good behind bars, 57 allows them to be released for their nonviolent offenses. Do I read the list again? The nonviolent offenses, because they're nonviolent offenders, includes rape by intoxication of an unconscious person, human trafficking involving a sex act with minors, arson causing great bodily harm, drive-by shooting, assault with a deadly weapon, and hostage taking. God. But you see, Mr. Appleton, you need to understand, there was a voice of the people that voted those in. The way that they were written, the way that they were titled, it's garbage, completely garbage. You know, it was all done very maliciously and very wrongly, the titling and the way that these were written up in their principal arguments, because it made it look like something completely else. So the FBI collects the data through the Uniform Crime Reporting Act, or program, if you prefer. And the data are collected via a summary reporting system, SRS, for agencies reporting via the National Incident-Based Reporting System. The submissions are converted to SRS data to be consistent for, you know, any and all presentations. So violent crime, it includes the offenses of murder, non-negligent manslaughter, rape in a revised definition, I might add, robbery, aggravated assault. Property crimes include the offenses of burglary, larceny theft, and motor vehicle theft. So currently, The FBI reports that in 2019, California did not contribute to the National Incident-Based Reporting System data collection. Why, I don't know. The FBI reports in 2019 that the FBI estimated crime statistics for the nation are based on data received from 738 of 743 law enforcement agencies in the country for that year. Okay, that's fine. And according to a January 2021 report, fairly recent, California's crime numbers have also catapulted the state into the top 20 of most dangerous states in America. And sadly, very sadly, this state is home to the nine most dangerous cities in the country. In the country. Thank you, Governor Brown. Thank you, Governor Newsom. Thank you, legislators of one particular party that overwhelm Sacramento. Now, to compile that list, all of the sources looked at the FBI data for violent crimes and property crimes in the state, in the California cities, with a population of 5,000 at least, which totaled 415 cities. And they discovered that the cities that made the list of robberies happening in broad daylight, carjackings and daily shootings were all over the place. And I'm gonna scale this down shortly. And there are neighborhoods in these cities that you shouldn't drive through ever, ever, if there are any reasons that you have to pass through them in the dark. Just don't do it. So the most dangerous cities in California for 2021, and I will explain why, and I'll make it very easy to understand. All right. Are these in any particular order? Not really, that I know of. I don't think so. But here they are. These are the most dangerous cities in California. Emeryville. Take notes. There's going to be a test later. The most property crimes in the state of California. Emeryville. Oakland. An overall crime rate 150% higher than the national average. And the natural average is up by a load. So, again, Oakland has an overall crime rate of 150% higher than the national average, which is huge. There is a murder happening every 5 days in Oakland. Okay? It's not quite Chicago. Commerce. City, yes, Commerce. Over the course of a year, any given resident has a 1 in 12 chance of being the victim of a property crime, the second highest rate in California. Red Bluff experienced, I'll just say, a very shocking rate of crime in every damn category in 2019. One of the most dangerous cities in California is Red Bluff. Signal Hill. Now, here in the center state, we're like, where's that? Signal Hill is surrounded entirely by Long Beach. Okay? It comes in number five, the fifth most dangerous place to call home in the state of California. Signal Hill. San Bernardino. San Bernardino, 46 murders in 2019. San Bernardino had the third highest rate in the state for 2019. 46. West Hollywood. West Hollywood's property crime is the ninth highest in the state. Rape cases are the 39th highest. All right. Stockton, right up the road. The third highest violent crime in California. 34 murders, 181 rapes, 3,000 aggravated assaults in Stockton. Marysville. Marysville had about twice as many car thefts per capita as Stockton. Again, one of the most dangerous cities in California. Barstow. Burglary is especially prevalent in Barstow. Wonder why. And it ranks as the fourth highest in California. Barstow's violent crime as a whole is also in the top 10 statewide. Barstow. Wow. Now, everybody involved in this reviewed the FBI data and reported that the statistics reveal Placer County communities are amongst the safest in the state. Placer County. These communities up there, the safest in the state, amongst the safest. Also reporting areas like Elk Grove follows Folsom's lead with 125 murders. The city of Sacramento comes in a dismal 383, and that's where the California Globe comes from. And this is their report again. Amongst the top 40 worst cities is that area just across the river in West Sacramento. Come in slightly higher than the state capital at 347. So if you want to look at the state capital, well, all the legislators are and the governor is, out of the 415 worst cities in the state of California, Sacramento is number 33. It's got a population of about 513,000. Violent crime per capita in the state capital, 627. Property crimes per capita, 3,182. Nearby Woodland ranks 185 out of 415. San Luis Obispo, we have so many great listeners in San Luis Obispo. It rates 52 out of 415. Escondido, I've always loved saying that for some reason. Escondido rates 233. Chino Hills, 373. Roseville, 227. And that's just a quick sort of encapsulated look at California's most dangerous cities and why. And I think the scary one is Oakland for the reason that I reported. It's 150% higher than the national average. And again, all of these, you know, the fingerprints of 47 and 57, props 47 and 57 are all over these crime stats. And these were those cities in California with a population of 5,000 or more, of which there are 415. Okay? So when I was saying so-and-so out of 415, that's where the 415 comes from. Means it's a city with a population of 5,000 or more. So that's doggone near everybody. And you say what? I mean, this is a very, very dangerous place to live. Not so much the area that we're broadcasting from, but the state of California, I mean, come on. One reason that Placer County, and Mark Capitan is just reporting this, and he would know, one of the reasons that it's one of the safest places in terms of, you know, the of areas to live is they have very strict judges and DAs there. They're all over the place. It's very difficult for defendants. All right, I got more to say about this. And more to tell you, and then maybe I want to hear from you, 490-5858 and 800-776-5858. I tell you, if there's any way that we will ever see the death of Propositions 47 and 57, it cannot be soon enough for this kid. You got me? Again, 490-5858, 800-776-5858. Ray Appleton, that's me, and I'll be right back. Got a lot of phone calls on this, but I want to quote a very dear friend of mine, Judge John Capitan, and everybody knows it, how tight I am with that family. And, you know, he talks about his position as a judge. And a lot of people think that, you know, California is just a horrible place. Judges aren't doing anything. He's in a position where he sends defendants to prison all the time. All the time. And they're constantly released by all of these different rules and whatever, the 47s and 57s of the state. And he had a good quote here. Where is it in his phone call? I want to quote him exactly. He says, we're like guard dogs with no teeth. We're like guard dogs with no teeth. Ain't that the truth? Let's get the phone calls. Jim, you're on KMJ. Hi there. Go right ahead.
Hi, Ray. I thought Fresno might make the top 10, but I'm pleasantly surprised. And I'm not surprised about Oakland, and Barstow kind of threw me, you know?
Sure.
I wonder why Barstow, you know, there's not much out there.
Maybe that's it, because that's the perception. There's not much out there, so it's easy pickings. I mean, if I was operating under that position as a bad guy, that is going to be the first place I'm going to head to.
Yeah. Did Fresno come in at all?
I have nothing in this report that says anything about Fresno being in the top 10.
Well, I guess that's good news.
I hope so, Jim. Thank you. Let me move on. We'll take good news if that's the case. Crystal, you're next. Welcome to KMJ. Hi.
Hi. It would be interesting to think about the correlation of that data to the counties that have easy CCWs.
Now, what the hell is an EDC3W or whatever it is?
No, CCW, concealed carry.
Oh, I didn't hear the first part of that. Yeah, we have no way of knowing that.
Yeah, I think it would just be an interesting thing.
Okay. Wish I could help you, but I can't. Thanks. 490-5858. Helen, go right ahead.
Yes. I don't want to go off the subject, but just to let you know that a big spruce tree or oleander tree, something, fell down in the middle of Maroa Avenue across from my house at 5244.
I don't have time for that now. Thank you. Goodbye. When you call in, stick to the subject, people, or I'm going to be just as rude as I was to her, you know? If you're just joining us, we're talking about the most dangerous cities in the state of California, and that's according to a bunch of FBI stats that were put together by the California Globe, and we may follow up on this again tomorrow. I just heard from Katie, and Katie Grimes, who is the editor of the California Globe. And she might have some more details specifically about our area, so we may tag with her tomorrow sometime on KNJ. But in the interim, you heard my report, you heard the reasons why, and you say what, you know, to the 10 most dangerous or the nine most dangerous cities in America are here in California, and you heard the reasons why. And we can tie that directly to Propositions 47 and 57. 47 and 57. And in 2016, we saw tremendous spikes in crime that related to the passage of those two, I know, voter-passed laws. But again, you know, to the casual looker from outside of the state of California, you know, they're looking at the voters in the state going, well, you're a bunch of stupid idiots. You voted for them. I mean, for crying out loud, what were you thinking? Why did you vote for those? Because of the way that they were written, because of the way that they were titled. You know, California has a horrible habit of being its own worst enemy because of the way that these ballot measures are titled and the way that they're written. They come across as something completely different. You know, I mean, you know, Proposition 47, 57, they could have had names of, you know, save a dying pigeon and buy Girl Scout cookie laws. You know, and then they could have been followed up with something completely non-related to that idiotic title, and it would have probably made it through the Secretary of State and onto the ballot. And if it sounds like I'm exaggerating, I am, but I'm not that far off. We know, those of us who are natives to California, who have been voting on these ballot measures forever, and read them and understand them, we know exactly how and why they are written. And that is to fabricate, you know, take one fabricated view of somebody's narrative and make it law. And this is what we get from the, you know, the absolute gigungus majority of the Democratic lawmakers up in Sacramento who helped put these things on the ballot. They helped put them on the ballot, by the way, because they themselves, as legislators, do not want to be a party to such ridiculous laws that takes felonies and turns them into misdemeanors. They don't want their name on that. They want to be able to come back to the public and say, oh, you voted on that. These were all voter mandated. My hands were tied. Well, no, they weren't, because you helped put them there with Governor Brown. Your blood is all over all of the deaths related to 47 and 57 because you didn't have the hair to fight these things back when they were being concocted. It's terrible. All right, we've got news coming up, but continue. Let's grab some more phone calls. Please do not tell me about a blown down oleander on your street. Crying out loud. God, some people. 490-5858 and 800-776-5858. This is KMJ. We've got news. Here's Liz. Joining us tomorrow to talk a little bit more about this. In fact, I'm just cinching it up right now. Hit send. Boom! There it goes. We'll grab onto, not literally grab onto her, Katie Grimes from the California Globe, who put this all together. And we can, do kind of a part two on what we've been talking about with these most dangerous cities in California. And she may have some local information about us in this part of the state, even though the broadcast here gets out to all of the state with the exception of Los Angeles. Bill, welcome to the program. You're on KMJ. Talk to me. Hi.
Well, it'd be interesting to know also what was the unemployment rate in those cities during this period of time, or was it the COVID lockdown, or was it just plain old unemployment that gets you in trouble?
Well, as I was very clear, a lot of these numbers come from 2019, so there was no COVID lockdown at that time. So for the majority of them, we're looking at non-pandemic times. You can only imagine that during pandemic times, it got worse, I would think.
Definitely.
That's one of the questions I'm going to have for her.
Okay. Dad always told us kids when we were young, if I take you to the field and you work all day, you don't have time to get in trouble. If you're working for a living, you have to worry about get up in the morning and going to work and being an employee. When we're feeding you, paying your rent, paying your medical bills, then you got plenty of time to find something to do. And sometimes it's not very, shall we say, constructive.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Well, one of the reasons that we have the state skewing like this, and Mark Capitan just threw this at me, it was something I'd forgotten about. You've got the DA down in Los Angeles, who people are trying to get rid of now. He does not prosecute 72% of the crimes that are thrown his way. He doesn't do it. Doesn't do it. Now, we all remember sometime back, there was a particular individual that we just love to hate. It's more liberal than the word liberal, more progressive than the word progressive. He put a lot of money into electing DAs in the state of California to do exactly what the one in Los Angeles is doing. Was this individual in Los Angeles the victim of his largesse? Was he the, not the victim, but the recipient, the happy recipient of, his campaign money that got him elected to do exactly what this individual wants? And that type of manipulation is what gets so many cities into trouble. But yet, sometimes we're going to play it by their rules. Look at what's happening up in Oregon. I mentioned Portland a couple of times today. Portland is burning, and they've got a mayor up there that won't do anything about it. I think she is the same person that said, it might be the summer of love. Or was she Seattle? You can't even remember now. But up in Portland, we have a number of individuals up there who are Republicans, who are stalwart conservatives, who are switching their party alliance to Democrat, due to the same thing the Democrats did in Georgia. And that was switched to Republican to get those people elected in Georgia, which helped change the entire complexion of the country. Well, okay, let's play by the same rules. You've got Republicans up in Portland that are changing their voting alliances to Democrat so they can vote for individuals that, are going to help soften the thing. But, and when I say soften it, make it better than it is by voting for those candidates who are more moderate than the progressives. And that's pretty sad when the only way you can get a moderate elected is to become a Republican, to be a Republican who votes Democrat, and to switch your party alliance to do it for that reason. Boom. Which means you're going to be voting for a Democrat, but one that's much, less worse than the other. God, I can't even formulate that in my head. It's so creepy. But I get it. Would I do it in a situation like that? If my city were burning, and the conservatives and the Republicans were powerless to do anything right, You know, like hire police? Hello. Yeah, I would. As much as I hate that kind of tactic, I get it. I get it. Is California headed for something like that? Yeah, they ought to be doing that right now in Oakland. Again, Oakland, 150% higher in terms of crime elevation than the national average, which I think is 80% some higher than it was, thanks to what's going on in this country, you know, with the pandemic shutdown and all of that, to refer to Bill's call a little bit, you know, because I'm sure when the pandemic numbers come in for these cities in 2020 and 2021, for the state of California, the FBI numbers are clear, it's going to be worse than those 2019 numbers, of which were not the majority, but about a half of what I threw at you came from 2019. So we got problems in California. 9 of the most dangerous cities to live in America are in California. And remember when California was the place to be? That was a place that everybody wanted to live. You know, you come out here, you know, sunshine, blue skies. It was cheap. You could find good housing. You could find a job. I'm going way back now. You know, back in the days when we had the, you know, so much of the Industrial Alliance and military building going on down in Los Angeles, aviation building, et cetera, et cetera. You could get a great paying job in Southern California. You could live decently. And then, you know, slowly but surely, there was a Democratic takeover of the state, and you can see where you're at now. You can see where you're at now. Do I blame it on that political party? No. I blame it on people voting that party's alliance, voting that party's ticket. People just need to switch how they vote if they want to live in a state that is much more protected, in a state that is not as dangerous as it now is. I mean, everything that we have seen happen in the state of California has happened because of Democratic rule. I mean, I don't say things like that. I blame Democrats for a lot of things, usually individual things, but the overall scenario, I blame on Democrats in the state of California, and I blame on Republicans for not getting out there and voting because they feel so frustrated to go up against this, you know, George Soros-funded machine. And when you've got elections that are funded to the tune, like the Los Angeles DA election, where you've got a guy elected who doesn't file on 72% of the crimes that come to his office, and I'm sure that he was a Soros candidate, then, you know, what can you do? You got to put blame where it deliberately belongs. Okay. I'm on it. 490-5858 to call the Ray Appleton program and talk about how California has become so dangerous. 800-776-5858. Be you anywhere in the state. Be you anywhere in the country. You know, listening online to this now going, are you kidding me? Is it really that bad there? And again, a lot of you are still probably saying, oh, these propositions that you talk about, you know, we don't have the luxury of voting on things in our state. But you guys do. And how do you keep voting all this crap upon yourselves? Again, because the way that they're titled and they're written, we should do away with them. We should do away with having the particular ballot measures that we have every time that there's a statewide election. I used to think they were a glorious and wonderful thing. Until we change how they manifest themselves on the ballot, we should not have them. We should not have them. And that would force the legislature to do what they need to do, to make decisions on things they don't want to make decisions about. And that would also eliminate a lot of the stuff that is in the future to be flawless because they deliberately want to take a pass on it, the legislators, and put it on the ballot. You see how dangerous this is, how evil it is, how they've taken a very good system that gave us freedom, that gave us liberty to impose our own futures upon us, and they've bastardized it, and they've twisted it into something that they want to work for them specifically to suit their own narrative. And that should no longer be allowed to occur in the state of California. There are very few states that have ballot measures. These things called ballot measures, you know, BMs, bowel movements. Call them that if you will, because that's essentially what they've turned into in this state. Oh, I can't believe I said that, but I did. We have to take a breather, take a little bit of a commercial break here at News Talk 580-1059, KMJ, and the Ray Appleton Program, 490-5858, 800-776-5858. And I'm sure there are many of you feeling the same frustration that I'm feeling right now. And I'll be right back. Before I go flying back to the phone calls, and I will do that momentarily, a number of you have asked for a demographic breakdown of two specific areas that I mentioned that were the worst and the safest of the worst and the safest. Placer County, and Placer County is loaded and known for its judges and DAs, which are tough, very, very tough. Placer County is cited by the FBI stats and everything that we mentioned in this article in the California Globe is the safest place to live in the state of California. 83.5% of the population is white. African-American is 0.9%. Native American is 5.9%. Asian is 0.2%. And Pacific Islander, wow, 3.8%. It's quite a few of them up there, huh? Pacific Islanders, Placer County is so much like Tahiti. Excuse me? And looking at Oakland, and I think I know where you're going with this, but I'm not going to draw the conclusions that you're trying to. We've got white, 28.3%, Hispanic, 27.0%, black, 23.2%. Oakland's crimes are up 150% over the national stats for anything heavy. You name it, Oakland is not a happy place to be. Phone calls. Back to it. Craig, you're on KMJ. Hi.
Hi, Ray.
Hey.
My brother-in-law is a DA up in Sacramento.
Whoa.
He was a DA right after you guys got three strikes in. He loved that law. He heard the felons out in the hallway talking to their wives, talking to their lawyers, going, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm two striker. If I get one more, I'm going up the river 15 years. And it was a great law. He said, he was telling his wife, he heard him tell his wife, we got to move to Oregon. He's going to continue stealing cars and chopping them up. So he wasn't going to stop doing it. So he had to move out of state. Now they've watered it down. And all the cities you're talking about, a lot of those cities, let's face it, I have a farming company. I work with 50 Latinos, and they tell me about the gangbangers coming into the state. It is absolutely crazy. L.A., you know, you can talk about Red Bluff, Marysville. Marysville is full. I have my harvesters come from Marysville. It's full of gangbangers now. They bring their drugs. Atwater chased them out. I don't know if you knew about that. They brought a bunch of gangs into Atwater to sell drugs, and every time the police saw them, they arrested them. Even the L.A. police chief called him and said, hey, what are you doing? We've got informants. You've chased them out. How'd you do that? Well, we arrest them when we see them. We can't do that. We can in Atwater. They look different. They got bandanas on. Half the time they're carrying illegal firearms or drugs. Within 6 months, he chased them all the way back to L.A.
You mentioned Marysville, one of the nine most dangerous cities in America. In America. In the whole damn country. So, I mean, your point is well taken. Go on.
Out of Corcoran. Corcoran prison gave him $60 and a bus ticket to Fresno, dropped him in our doorstep, and then he walked all the way to the Ranchos, hadn't eaten in 7 days, drinking out of hoses and sprinklers. I held him for the sheriff. He was near death. He was so dehydrated in the middle of summer, last summer, they took him to the emergency room, and the doctor said 4 more hours, he'd have been dead.
Wow.
So, you know, he was trying to break into my shop,
wow.
But he was so weak and so high that it was easy to restrain him.
Yeah.
But I've been robbed 3 times out here in the Ranchos. My shop's been broke into. I've had tractors stolen. I've got GPS on them now. I've got a couple of them back. But it's out of freaking control, and a lot of it's being done by gangs.
Oh, I yeah, I'm sure. Craig, thank you. I mean, with what's coming in over the border right now, we can make that assessment. And I think we can do that without any bias or prejudice, because it's just a fact. And, you know, and we're getting this from individuals down there who are reporting news, and individuals who are in law enforcement are saying these are known bad guys and they're coming through. And this is also a major part of the problem that we have in California with a lot of these individuals that are coming through Texas, you know, and moving on into California to be with, you know, family members and friends from, you know, south of the border illegally. And a number of them are not the kind of people we want to have in this country. Period of end of statement. I mean, no, you know, and this is something that we can blame squarely now on the government. Completely swear that, and again, I can't do this with any great authority, but we know that individuals are coming through south of the border who are gangbangers and are wanted. And we've got some of the worst coming in from El Salvador, and we know who they are. And thank God we've got a system for identifying them. You know, and I want to be careful here because I don't want to say that, you know, individuals coming through for a better life or all of that persuasion. You know that. I know that. But some people will take that and use it against me in the era that we live in. And I say let them because we all know it's not true. So, I mean, tomorrow we will pursue this a little more. Katie Grimes with the California Globe, who is the editor, is the one responsible for this piece, talking about the most dangerous cities in California. And of the most dangerous cities in California, 9 are apparently the most dangerous cities in the United States of America. Gee, aren't we proud? Aren't we proud? And this DA that is down in Los Angeles, I'm trying to get Mark Capitan to call in so we can talk about this guy, but I'm not having any luck. I'm sure Mark is very, very busy. Yeah, Mark was just talking to a policeman down in Los Angeles. He just texted me and said he's got a guy down there that was involved in an accident that had horrendous injuries. Horrendous injuries. And he can't get the DA to file. I mean, come on. I mean, whether it's California or anywhere, you want to live in an area like that? Hell no. You know, we need police protection. We need DAs that will work with police to protect us. But for somebody who believes in it, you know, a world free of police and DAs that sit on their hands, they can move to L.A. right now because it's Valhalla with that guy in the DA's office down there. He's not going to do anything to you. I don't blame those people down there for freaking out so bad. Hey, but they voted for him, you know. Yeah, they did. All right, hour number 3. It's going fast today, very fast, of the Appleton program. Coming up in the next hour, I don't know, but we've got a lot to talk about, and we will. I'll just sort out the best stuff and throw it at you after we pay the bills. On News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.